So if you found 1 Samuel chapter 8, this happens in Israel's history. There was a time when God was king over who? Was he king over all nations of the world? You might think so from the way that most churches proclaim it. But he was king over one family. King over Israel only. And what did our ancestors do? They said, we don't want you to be king anymore. Can you imagine that? That's where the nation went down and never has recovered. But it's in 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'll read verses 11 through 20. If you'll stand to honor the Holy Scriptures, I will read verses 11 through 20. Where Samuel had told the Lord what the people had asked for another king. Verse 11, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. And will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliness young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. The reason that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. You may be seated. America is getting ready for an election. Barack Obama against, no doubt, George Romney. Mitt Romney, that's correct. Thank you. This is the third message I have brought on this to show you that there is no good choice. There's no one for us to vote for, even if we believe we should vote. There's no one to vote for. You know, when the Revolutionary War was over, Lord Cornwallis made a statement to George Washington that was very revealing. I'm going to read it to you again. Quote, a holy war will now begin on America. And when it is ended, America will be supposedly the citadel of freedom. But her millions will unknowingly be loyal subjects to the crown. Your churches will be used to teach the Jews religion. And in less than 200 years, the whole nation will be working for divine world government. All religions will be permeated with Judaism without even being noticed by the masses. And they will all be under the invisible, all-seeing eye of the grand architect of Freemasonry. This comes from the Legions of Satan by Jonathan Williams. Barack Hussein Obama is our present president, or is it Barry Sorrento? But the very basic things about him we don't know and are forbidden to find out. We're not even 100% sure as to who his father is, except we do know he is a bastard or a mixed-race son. There are even people who will argue whether he is a Christian, a Muslim, or even a Jew. According to our beliefs, he can't be a Christian because he is a racial stranger to the covenants that God made with his people. He should be disqualified for being even a candidate for president because of what it says in Deuteronomy 17:15, and I'll read it to you. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Obama is not our brother. He is a racial stranger. So that's enough to tell any Christian that we can't vote for Obama. What about the potential Republican candidate, Mitt Romney? He is a high priest in the false religion of Mormonism, and he is a very good Mormon. Good Mormons wear their special underwear. It's considered a special device of protection for them. Good Mormons never go without wearing them. The exception is when they take either a bath or a shower. They take the underwear off in the shower by letting it drop into the shower full of water. And when they leave the shower, they immediately put on a new pair. If they are in an accident, the hospital staff must rip it off them if they can, against the protest of the strict Mormon. The underwear has Masonic emblems on different sections of the underwear. But that's not the main reason that we can't vote for Mitt Romney. I have presented two previous sermons on what is wrong with the Mormon Church. If you think what we believe is strange, I don't believe why Christians don't think that what the Mormons believe is even worse. Some of their strange beginnings in 1820 to 1830, some of their fast growth, the missionary in England who converts Romney's ancestors in the year 1837, the Romney's immigration to Nauvoo, which was in Illinois. Then they went to Utah. Ned Mitt's great-grandfather goes to Mexico with other Mormons to practice his plural marriages. George Romney, who is Mitt's father, was born in Mexico when he was 5 years old. He returned to the United States due to the Civil War in Mexico. Then I told you about the strange missionary who went to Palestine in 1841 through 1842. That's only 11 years after the church was formed, who climbed the Mount of Olives. And I know Dan's been there. He climbed the Mount of Olives, and he dedicated the land to the gathering of the Jews. Now, 1841, there weren't many Jews there. He was the first Zionist, and they began the He began the Zionist movement, and a park is dedicated to the Mormon missionary in 1972 to honor this special event. Today I will tell you some material that I discovered the past 2 weeks. But the point is, none of this information is on about in the news. In fact, no information have I ever heard is allowed except that Mitt Romney is a Mormon. None of this information. I will tell you that 4 years ago, Mike Huckabee raised the question to Mitt Romney that he believed that Jesus and Lucifer were spiritual brothers. He said it twice to him, and he was cut off and never said it again. He hadn't said a word about his Mormon beliefs at all in this election. Have you believed the lie that anyone can become the president of the United States? He or she just has to apply himself or herself. Has there been any presidents that are related? Well, there's been a couple of Adamses, a couple of Bushes, a couple of Roosevelts. In fact, 25 United States presidents are closely related. Is that true in the election of 2012? And did you know, I just heard this 2 days ago, that George Washington originally favored a six-pointed star to be put on the United States flag, but Betsy Ross showed how she could make a five-pointed star by cutting it out with the scissors, and the men relented. I will just say that the Mormons have a six-pointed star on their temple in Utah. In the year 1830, Joseph Smith, with five other men, organized his church after 10 years when he was allegedly told by Jesus Christ and God the Father that there was no church for him to join. In fact, that there had been no true church since the year 350 A.D. Now, however, he had been a member of the Presbyterian, and he joined the Methodist Church, that he was excommunicated from between the visit of the two personages in the year 1820 and the beginning of the Mormon Church in 1830. That doesn't seem to make any difference to the Mormons. The Mormon Church grew to be the largest city in the state of Illinois, bigger than Chicago, Nauvoo, until Joseph Smith was eventually killed in a gunfight. He wasn't a martyr. He was killed in a gunfight. Joseph had a pistol that was smuggled into the jail. He killed two people in the jail he was staying in. But did you know that when he was killed, he had been a candidate for the president of the United States? And he had been crowned king of the United States. How bizarre is that? The Order of the Skull and Bones had been organized at Yale University in what year? 1833. It was founded by William Huntington Russell and Alfonso Taft. It nominates only 15 juniors per year, yet it has produced three presidents. William Howard Taft, let's see, one of its founders was a Taft. George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. Bush, plus a couple other candidates for president, a host of governors, senators, representatives, CEOs, ambassadors, and so forth. Andrew Jackson fought against Nicholas Biddle and the National Bank. He defeated the National Bank run by private firms. The bank charter expired in what year? 1836. This affected the money that the Mormons had provided at their anti-bank in Kirtland, Ohio, and got them run out of town. Then what happened in 1838? The Christian Afrikaners won a marvelous great victory against the Negro Zulus in South Africa in the year 1838. This was a major victory in the history of Christianity. Not one African was seriously injured among the 478 in the Battle of Blood River. The animals of the Afrikaners didn't even stampede with all the loud noises. But the Zulus were annihilated with a great slaughter, so that the blood of the nearby river turned red with all the blood that was shed. The Zulus' dominant power was destroyed in the area of South Africa. My question is, why did the Afrikaners leave the area around the Cape where they had lived in for a couple hundred years? The Church of England had come to South Africa and eventually instituted the following new laws that were against the Afrikaners' God. The new civil rights legislation from England demanded that, one, all policies of racial segregation were to be banned. Two, all Negroes were given full citizenship to vote. Three, severe taxes were imposed. Four, prohibition of the Afrikaners' native language. Five, the insane stipulation that any repeal or amendment could only be done in England. Six, no retaliation was permitted to be taken against any Negro who raped, looted, or murdered whites. Seven, with the support of Anglican missionaries, interracial marriage and interracial schools were advocated. For those that are younger than me, you probably don't know the area, time in American history where schools were segregated. Everything was segregated in America at one time. To prove their godliness, many Anglican missionaries married Negro women and paraded children of both races under a banner of "We are of one blood." That's exactly the same thing that answers in Genesis and the majority of so-called Christian groups advocate today. Have you ever asked yourself this question? If the Afrikaners were correct in leaving the area and going by wagon train to the vacant land in the Northeast, then would their God intervene on their behalf? Why would they win such a major battle after they said their vow to Almighty God each night until they won? Close to 30,000 against 468. Warriors against farmers. And not one farmer even suffered a serious wound, let alone being murdered. William Miller, pastor of a Baptist church, preached that the world was going to end in the year 1843. Later changed it to the date to the fall of 1844. Over 50,000 Americans were strongly affected and a new religion took its place over the failed prophecy. Then there was Charles T. Russell, who met with a small group in a Bible study. Soon he was traveling across the world and giving away a lot of free material. He was a member of the Illuminati, a high-degree Freemason and a Knights Templar. The main purpose of his religion was to promote Zionism on behalf of his friends and backers. Charles was of the same family that founded the small fraternity, the Order of the Skull and Bones. Kind of a small world when you study it out. The leader of the Bible study, which led to the formation of the Jehovah Witnesses, was a Satanist and a pedophile, according to his own wife. He was also a friend of the Rothschilds and other important Illuminati. How do I know that? In the court of law in 1922, it was proven that the Rothschilds were the ones who funded the Jehovah Witnesses. Their contributions were by organizations like the Rothschilds controlled B'nai B'nith. Why would they start a pseudo-Christian religion which promotes the Jewish faith by funding into existence the Jehovah Witnesses? Russell's family was formerly known as Rossell, R-O-E-S-S-E-L, and were German Jews. They immigrated to Scotland from Germany, and then to Northern Ireland, and then to Pennsylvania. Of course, Germany is a massive nucleus from which Rothschilds emerged, And Scotland is one of the key areas of the world for Illuminati bloodlines. From the start, Charles Taze Russell used his new Watchtower Society, based at Bethel, New York, as a Enoch magic and as a brand of Satanism was called. He put the flying sun disk on the front of his books, an ancient Illuminati symbol going back to ancient Egypt. The flying sun disk, you can see in a lot of different places, a lot of different companies use it, particularly the two cars that we drive. We drive a Chrysler station wagon, and we drive a PT Cruiser. Both Chryslers have this flying sun disk right smack on the car. Charles Russell was buried under a giant pyramid in the Masonic burial ground, Illuminati symbolism. Have you ever wondered about these two restoration churches? How did they grow so fast? A lot of negatives happened between 1820 and the founding of the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's evolution, women's suffrage, abolition, psychology, feminism, dispensationalism, birth control and abortion, democracy, rock and roll movement, drug movement, and on it goes. The area of New York State, which was located close to the Erie Canal, became known as the Burned Over District. It was called Burned Over because of the revivals that were held by the Presbyterians, the Congregationists, the Baptists, and the Methodists. People moved from the coastal colonies to New York. The Mormons believe in four divine books: Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, the Book of Mormon, and the King James Bible. And they believe something else was divinely inspired. Does anybody know what they think was divinely inspired? The Constitution of the United States. They are taught in Mormon wisdom to drink no alcohol and no caffeinated drinks. That includes Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and all the other colas. Smoke no tobacco products and to eat meat sparingly. The Mormons are a very wealthy church. The church takes care of their own poor. The Mormon religion is really a high rite of Freemasonry. When they went to Utah, they held Masonic schools. In fact, Brigham Young asked the chief of Freemasonry in England that they be granted a public charter to become its own Masonic rite. But the hierarchy told him no. Then I found out the Mormon church was financed by the Rothschilds. The B'nai B'rith operates both as an intelligent front for the Rothschilds and a conduit transmitting orders to various groups, which includes the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Masons. The nucleus of the early Mormonism moved together from Connecticut to Vermont, and then on to Palmyra in the New York State area. The families, they were the Bennetts, the Walters, the Smiths, the Winchells, the Herberts, the Cowderys, and the Youngs. While living in Vermont, these families had formed a secret religious fraternity called by outsiders the Fraternity of Rodsmen. These people later became the original Mormons. I'll repeat that. These people who were of the Fraternity of Rodsmen later became the original Mormons. Joseph Smith was a dynamic individual with many intellectual abilities. The creation of Mormonism may have been a well-orchestrated plan by several families to set themselves up as a priest, prophet, rulers of the United States that they had claimed was theirs years before Joseph Smith was ever born. After Nathaniel Woods was excommunicated from the ministry of the Congregational Church, he formed a secret religious group, the Fraternity of Rodsmen, that included the parents of Joseph Smith. The occult practices that Joseph Smith's mother practiced were likely participated in by the entire set of families that formed the Fraternity of Rodsmen. The Fraternity of Rodsmen eventually felt the need to build a temple. The people of the fraternity so upset the people of Middletown, Vermont, that the militia fired their rifles at them because they were so frightened. After this shooting, the people of the Rodsmen moved to the stronghold of Masonry in Palmyra, New York. Get this. Most of Joseph's family was Freemasons at Palmyra before Joseph ever announced any of his visions or knowledge of the golden plates. In the rituals of the 13th, 14th, and 21st degrees of Masonry, the legend, which is derived from Kabbalistic sources, is told of Enoch's gold plates. The story of how Joseph found the golden plates resembles this story in the Masonic degrees. In 1825, a Jewish Mason, Mordecai Manuel Noah, reestablished a city of refuge for the Jewish people of the world. In what city? Buffalo, New York, which is about 20 miles from Palmyra, New York. This event was established by a Masonic parade and a Masonic ceremony. Joseph Smith also read another Freemason, Emanuel Swedenborg. We found his church up in northern Cincinnati. He adopted his writings and his concept of three heavens, with the highest being the celestial kingdom. I'll speak more of that later. Joseph Smith copied the Masonic and magic groups by giving Mormon leaders and himself new names. His new name was Enoch. Joseph Smith set out to create a high-level super rite of Masonry, perhaps meant to be supreme over the other rites. The temple endowments are similar to what is experienced in witchcraft and Masonry. And there's people that have been in witchcraft and Masonry that joined the Mormon Church and said it's identical. There's been a mass deception to keep hidden that the Mormon leaders are high-ranking Freemasons. This deception can only be explained in full by understanding that a conspiracy of great magnitude is underway. Joseph Smith believed in a need for a restoration, but he meant the reinstitution of magic and the occult into Christianity, and a rejection of all the principal dogmas of Orthodox churches. Do you remember when the two personages came to him and he asked them what church should he join? And he says that God told him don't join any church and all their creeds are an abomination. This indicates why the one world power, the Rothschilds, has helped the Mormon Church. Joseph Smith's father was a member of the Universalist Church and most likely had contact with occultism and mystic Masons that were preaching for the Universal Church in their area. Universalism is directly connected to Freemasonry. The Mormons teach that only Mormons will be saved, but they really believe in veiled universalism. They believe all of mankind will be saved, minus a handful of exceptions. Some end up at the lesser heaven, but this lesser heaven is claimed to have essentially all the blessings of a Christian heaven. The kingdom of heaven from lowest to highest as believed by the Mormons. The first is outer darkness. A few individuals of the world who do not inherit any degree of glory. These are the worst people on the earth. Very few people, according to them. The second is the celestial kingdom. That's the slackers of all religious beliefs. Backslidden Mormons live in a heaven like the earth is now. It includes liars, sorcerers, adulterers, whoremongers, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. Because of their refusal to accept Jesus as their Savior, these individuals remain in the spirit prison for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ. After 1,000 years, the individuals will be resurrected and receive an immortal physical body and be assigned to the terrestrial kingdom. Then terrestrial kingdom. These are worthy, hardworking people of all religious beliefs. Roman Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Buddhist, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, includes those who have lived respectably but were blinded by the craftiness of men and thus rejected the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ when it was presented to them during their mortal lives. It also includes persons who rejected the testimony of Jesus in the flesh but afterwards received it in the spirit world. What does that mean? They were baptized in proxy when they were dead. That's why the Mormons are very big in that. And those who were not valiant in the testimony of Jesus after having received it. The fourth kingdom in heaven is the celestial kingdom, and that is for the elite few Mormons who have been to the temple and kept all their covenants and obey all 4,000 of their commandments. Very few Mormons ever make it. They will become a god over their own planet with a harem of wives to supply the planet with their inhabitants. Kind of reminds me of the Muslim view of their martyrs for their religion. They receive, what, 7 virgins in heaven? This completely rejects what the Bible says about the Israel people. The Israel people are the elect of God and are his sheep, and he is their shepherd. I'm going to read a few verses to you. The first is Numbers 27, verses 15 through 17. Listen to what this says. And Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And then he appointed Joshua to be the shepherd over the sheep. 2 Samuel 24:17. And David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and he says, lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. Psalm 78, verse 51 and 52. And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. and that dwelleth between the cherubims shine forth. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. He said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's referring to the house of Israel in that passage. John chapter 10, verse 24 through 26. This gets very interesting. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not. Why? Why didn't the Jews believe what Jesus Christ said and what he did? But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, the Jews are not the sheep of God, not his covenant people. Notice it says that they did not believe because of who they were. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The sheep are related to the covenant that God made with his people. Now my conclusion. The theory that Mormons quit being Masons after the Nauvoo Lodge was a deception. Sidney Rigdon, a Mason who was a Campbellite preacher who had two communes, changed his allegiance to Joseph Smith and helped lead the Mormons to Kirkland, Ohio. Brigham Young continued the Masonic practices and built them into the temple in Utah. If you've never seen the temple in Utah, how many crosses are on the temple in Utah? None. There's an all-seeing eye. There's pentagrams. Upside-down five-pointed star, which represents Cyrus, which is known as the dog star, the most important symbol in the Masonic Lodge. The dragon of the Big Dipper. There's 50 sun stones, moon stones, earth stones, cloud stones, and etc. One of the temple endowments, the Mormons demonstrate the same Masonic five points of fellowship. They're there, and there's a Mormon guy on the other side of the veil, and they put right foot to right foot, right knee to right knee, breast to breast, hand to the back, and mouth to the ear. The Mormons believe there are five sins for which the blood of Jesus Christ will never atone. That's murder, adultery, homosexuality, apostasy from the true church, and marrying a black person. Mormonism, the state of Utah, uses firing squads for these five crimes because they believe the blood of the victim will cover his committing these five sins. The faithful Mormons are told the second name in the temple endowments. Here's the second name, quote, health in the navel, marrow in the bones, strength in the loins and in the sinews. Powers in the priesthood be upon me and my posterity for all generations of time and for all eternity, unquote. That's quite a name. But you need to know this and say this in order to get into heaven. That's very similar to an incantation used in Satanism. One of the original experiments with communism was first set up by the United Order of Masonic of the Mormons, which failed. It is taught that it'll be brought back in the millennium. They believe that the Constitution is an inspired document and that the elders of Israel will be the only ones who can save it when it's about to be brought down. Now, wait a minute. They believe that the Constitution is an inspired doctrine and that they, the elders of Israel, will be the only ones who can save it when it's about to be brought down. Well, that's happening now, isn't it? The Council of Yifti, which is 50 spelled backwards, which also is a thing of magic, was originally an elite secret order with the highest levels of the LDS Church designed to bring about the LDS rule over the United States. Joseph Smith originally called this group the Illuminati. With this council, Joseph Smith was crowned King of the United States. Most of the John Birch Society, Secret Service, and they were in the news this week, the CIA and FBI are filled with Mormon people. LDS believe it is their duty to rule the USA. The president will be the one who can save the Constitution and set up a benevolent dictatorship. Bear in mind that the symbols of Luciferian worship adorn the Mormon temples, and that demons are considered part of the same eternal family as the gods, angels, and mortals are in, but considered simply to be a different stage in growth and development. The restored priesthood they bring is in submission to the same men who control witchcraft and Freemasonry, and who have had the highest levels pledge allegiance to Lucifer. This is the authority of the mystery religions. One of the most important international problems is the nation of Iran's nuclear power. Iran is one of only three countries left in the world whose central bank is not under Rothschild's control. Before 9/11, there were reportedly seven: Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Libya, Cuba, North Korea, and Iran. By 2003, however, Afghanistan and Iraq were swallowed up by the Rothschilds, and by 2011, Sudan and Libya were also gone. In Libya, a Rothschild bank was established in the city while the country was still at war. Islam forbids the charging of interest, a major problem for the Rothschild banking system. Until a few hundred years ago, charging interest was also forbidden in the Christian world and was even punishable by death. The Bible considers usury as theft, exploitation, and enslavement. Since the Rothschilds took over the Bank of England around 1815, they have been expanding their banking control over all the countries of the world. Their method has been to get a country's corrupt politicians to accept massive loans, which they can never repay, and thus go into debt in the Rothschild banking powers. If a leader refuses to accept the loan, he oftentimes either ousted or assassinated. If that fails, invasions can follow, and a Rothschild usury-based bank is established. You begin to see why the Congress of this United States has $1.5 trillion more than before. They have to. It's a debt usury system. The Rothschilds control the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, the IMF, the World Bank, and the Bank of International Settlements. They own almost all the gold in the world, as well as the London Gold Exchange, which sets the price of gold every day. It is said the family owns over half the wealth of the planet, estimated to be $131 trillion, and is controlled by Evelyn Rothschild, the current head of the family. The Rothschilds support the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Rothschilds support the Mormon Church. The Rothschilds support Barack Obama to a second term as President of the United States. The Rothschilds support Mitt Romney as President of the United States. As usual, they win no matter who wins. May we remember what David, the shepherd of his father's sheep, said as he fought the enemy of Israel. Quote, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That's 1 Samuel verses chapter 17 and verse 45 and 46. David wore no helmet. He had no armor on. He had no spear. He had no arrows. But he defeated the best champion of all the Philistines, the giant Goliath. No Christian should vote for any Mormon for any office, not even dog catcher, including the President of the United States. I wish there'd be somebody who begins to ask questions to the candidate. Questions that count. We have no choice that remains. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, and may we remember what David said to Goliath.